Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
We're going to continue this morning on our journey. Might be one or two more messages along with this one today. We're talking about living the Christian life. I think there's some misunderstanding sometimes as to what this whole thing is about. We think, well, you see, I'll give my heart to Christ and then I'll just go on about my life and wait for him to come or for me to go, one of the two. And quite often we struggle along and things and we think, this Christian life, it just doesn't really seem to be all that much and doesn't seem to have that much of an impact on me. I want you to realize, and I hope that you're realizing, even through this series of messages, that there's more to the Christian life than just getting to heaven. Yes. It's about a day by day. It's life, new life in Christ. We've talked about a Christian being a giver, and that's not just money. You know, anytime you say giving in church, everybody thinks, oh, he's after our money. You know, no. It's a spirit, a giving spirit that wants to help and minister to other people. Second, a Christian is free. We do not have to live in bondage. There is no sin. There is no nature. There's no personality glitch that is too great for our God to set us free. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free, amen, is free indeed. The third thing that we discussed is a Christian understands and has a love that is unique to any love that exists on this world, in this world. It is the love of God. And that love of God, as the scripture said, is shed abroad in our hearts. And it creates a different person. Because the agape love of God is not just feeling, it is an act of will. So it begins to change everything. It changes relationships. It changes our pursuits in life. Everything begins to change as we walk in God's love. Fourthly, a Christian serves. It's true. If you're a Christian, you are going to find some way, somehow, to serve God in the talents and the abilities that he has given you. It's like a burning down inside that has to happen. The fifth thing is a Christian's heart and mouth is filled with praise. It's a very natural thing for a Christian to praise the Lord. I do know and I understand the struggle, the dilemma that exists in us of finding more words to praise him. You will sometimes think, oh Lord, I hate this, keep saying the same thing over and over to you. Well, I don't want to preach that message again, but I would remind you that the Psalms of David are just filled with words of praise. Pull them out and begin to praise the Lord through the Psalms. It's a grand place. Last week, we talked about the sixth part of this, and that is that a Christian lives in prayer. You know, when I originally put that down, it was a Christian prays. And I thought, no, I think virtually everybody prays. At some time, whether it's a breath of prayer, whether it's a cry out or whatever it is, people are asking God constantly for things. Even people that do not worship God will proclaim that they pray, which is amazing to me, but it's true. They're asking, if nothing else, they're asking the wind. I'm thankful this morning that I know the God of the universe. I have a Savior who came into the world and died on a cross for my sins, but also for my abundant life. Amen? So he cares about everything that matters in my life. And what a joy it is to talk to the Lord. As I told you last week, get rid of all the formality and all the formal language and just talk to the Lord. He's not afraid if you gripe. He's not afraid if you complain. No, he's a grand listener. Now, sometimes I can tell you, and I warn you, sometimes you'll ask him a question and it seems that he doesn't answer you. Because part of his character is helping us to grow. And I'll not go into all the ways that we grow, but I can tell you one of them is wait. Huh? Patience. All these virtues and powerful things that the Lord wants to develop in our lives, they will only come as we walk in these things, as we learn to allow our spirit to rise up and be a giver, to be free from the things that entangle us, to walk in the love of God, to serve, finding an area where we can turn loose our talents and abilities and serve the Lord. And learning how to pray. This morning, we're going to talk about study. Today, our focus takes us to a trait of the Christian life that many avoid. It shows in our lack of knowledge and of the scriptures and of wisdom. That trait is study. A Christian studies. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ladies in here have a cookbook? Come on, ladies. How many of you have a cookbook? Let's see. Raise those hands. Some of you I know have probably written a cookbook in years past. Why? Cindy, why do you raised your hand, you had a cookbook, right? Why do you have a cookbook?
Because I don't know my way in the kitchen without it.
She said because she doesn't know her way in the kitchen without it. Okay. Everything that is important in our lives, we will take the time to learn about it. Can I tell you this morning, this is a book of life. This is God's book to help us to know how to live. He gives us the best path of life. It's, if you will, our cookbook. So that we're not just throwing things in the pot. Say, what is that we're having for dinner tonight? I don't know. I just went around and collected everything that we had and threw it in there. Is it any good? I don't know. I haven't tasted it. Sometimes it turns out, but sometimes it doesn't. Following the things of the Lord, studying, preparing yourself to be the best Christian that you can be. As a matter of fact, even as you begin to gather truth in the Word of God concerning what heaven is all about, it's not sitting on a cloud someplace strumming a harp or something or other. It's not even just sitting around the throne praising the Lord, which is going to be grand. But the scriptures tell us that we have purpose eternally. What did he say? He said, if in this life you will be faithful in a few things, what? I will make you ruler over many. Can't explain that to you because it's way beyond my pay grade. But something's going to happen as we enter into eternity, as we are in the presence of the Lord, in that whole thing where heaven comes down to earth and there's a new heaven and a new earth and an incredible plan that God has. He's preparing a people to be part of something bigger than we can even imagine. Our study and our preparation can move us forward in this life, but also in where God wants and in what God wants to do with us in the days to come. Praise the Lord. I have a phrase, and I don't have it up here, but there's a phrase that I came across that it may not mean as much to you as what it does to me, but I bring it out. It's called the mountain climber's commitment. And it's very simple. The mountain climber's commitment to the top. To the top. As a mountain climber sits and stands at the bottom of a mountain and looks up, they have one objective, and that is to reach the top. Even if they're not physically able, even if they realize that this is going to be a process, their goal, their objective is to get to the top. I wonder this morning, as a Christian, what's your goal? As you stand up against the mountain of life, what is your goal? Is it to see how many things that you can collect in this life? There should be, as Christians, there should be a shift from this kingdom to the kingdom of God. A constant shifting away from the kingdom of this world to God's kingdom. Because you see, they are not one and the same. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He births it in our hearts. We chase after it for a lifetime. And one day we will step into the midst of His kingdom. This is the kingdom of the world. He has the kingdom of God. Yes, we are a part as believers here on this earth, but we do not realize the benefit of being joint heirs with Christ. Come on. We do not have the completion of our inheritance until we step from this world into His kingdom. Studying, preparing ourselves for everything and anything that God has for us should be the objective of every believer. I like this one. You may not think this is great, but a Quaker said to a preacher who was a fox hunter, "If I were a fox and wanted to hide from you, I'd hide where you'd not find me." "And where is that?" asked the preacher. The Quaker said, "In your study." I never want that to be mine. I was thinking, as you know, being where I'm at in life and the changes that are about to occur and all that, I think about such things. I was thinking of the fact that I know that I have preached somewhere over 1,100 messages to this congregation. Never the same one twice, because it's my privilege to study and prepare new and fresh. I have file drawers and binders full of messages that I've preached in years past, but part of the love that I have is the love of studying the Word of God. Can I tell you this morning, that wasn't always the case? When I was in school, I was really a terrible student. Happened to be smart enough, just smart enough to where I could pretty much listen in class, take the test, get a decent grade, but I had teachers frustrated with me like you wouldn't believe, because I would do really well on a test and never turn in a sheet of homework. Horrible student. I was thinking this week of, when did it change? When I came off a ship, I was in Newport, Rhode Island, And they put me in a barracks that was 6 stories tall. And on the bottom floor, they brought in all of the transfer criminals that had been released from prison, from jail, from the brig, wherever, and they had them on the first floor of this dormitory or whatever. And when I was there, because I was a person, a ship without water or whatever you want to say, and so they put me on the fourth floor. So on the first floor, there's all these criminals or former criminals or whatever you want to call them. Second and third floor were empty, and I was all by myself on the fourth floor, and then there were 2 floors above me. So as it became twilight in the evening, I would make my way in, go up a side stairway to the fourth floor, go into my room, lock the door, push the dresser over against the door. Yeah. No television, no radio, no nothing. All I had was my Bible. And I began to just study the Word and make notes. I called it As It Is Written. And I spent that entire time, every single night, until I was tired enough to go to sleep, studying the Word of the Lord. And things began to click and change. See, I can tell you that my first year of Bible school was a mess. It was a mess because I didn't know how to study. I walk in and they said, okay, take your textbook. I'd like for you to have this all read before you come back to class. And I didn't believe them. Walk in the next class hour and they'd say, okay, we're going to have a quiz or a whatever on that book. You're going to what? And I hadn't even looked at it. I understand not being a student, but I also understand the joy of becoming a student, of learning to study, and how it begins to change you in so many different ways. I encourage you this morning, yes, I've got some other points to preach to you, but I encourage you this morning, give God a chance to do something significant in your life by becoming a student of this textbook. I know there's not a lot of shouting this morning. So why study? Why study? Let me give you some reasons. Reason number one, living the Christian life can be difficult. If you haven't figured that one out yet, you're in for it. In verse number 12, Paul says it like this. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you're actually living the life, if you're actually redeemed and you're living the life, there will be difficulties. Now, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. The enemy of your soul will be coming against you. Again, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You may say, now that's not a very good sales pitch for becoming a Christian. I would just point you to Jesus. He never promised an easy path. Listen to some of his words. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But hear this. He promised to be with them. In verse 19, he says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. He said, you're going to have it difficult. The world is going to come against you if you're walking after me. But I'm going to be with you. When you're called upon to speak, when you're called upon to give witness, don't worry over it, because I will speak through you. Now think about that. That promise does not come to anyone else in the world, that the God of the universe, the God of creation, wants to come and speak through you. When people challenge you, he wants to come and put the words through your mouth. This is the life of Christ-like ones. That's what Christian means. It's so easy to throw out the term, I'm a Christian. But the reality of this life is one of change. It is one of moving forward. It is one of seeking out and searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. Jesus said in John 15:20, remember the words that I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. We need, church, we need the strength of the word of God in our lives. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So when things are dark, when things are closing in, when things are difficult, when people are coming against you, he says, I want you to have my word in you so that you know we win. You will have the endurance, you will have the encouragement, you will have the hope. But it only comes as we have the word of God in our lives. Amen. So why study? Reason number two, living the Christian life is progressive. He says in verse number 13, while evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is speaking this to Timothy, but the application is true in all of our lives. We begin as babes, as little children. 1 Corinthians 3:1, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual but worldly, mere infants in Christ. In your spiritual life, how old are you? We know how old we are most of the time in our earthly bodies and life. Sometimes some of us have to stop and think, okay, see, I was born in this year. What's interesting is this, that you say, well, you know, yeah, I was saved back 20 years ago. I was saved back 10 years ago. So, okay, I'm 10, I'm 20. No, it doesn't work that way. In all my years of ministry, I have met individuals who have served the Lord for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're still babies. They never made a choice to grow up in the Lord. The same problems, the same needs, the same circumstances that they had in the beginning are the ones they're having right now. You realize that's not God's objective. He has designed that you and I would be growing. How do we grow? We grow through our study of the Word of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, I read you verse 1, verse 2, he said, I gave you milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. As a matter of fact, some have been in this long enough, you should be the teacher, you should be the preacher. Jesus and Paul were not critical of spiritual immaturity. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, come as little children. He did not despise our youthfulness as we come into these things. But his objective is that we would grow up and we would mature. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. When you have experienced the things of the Lord, it should be drawing you and give me more. He said, well, you know, I'm not a reader. I'm not this. I can attest to you this morning. I can give you from personal experience a long and exhaustive list of all the reasons why to not be a good student. But you know what? None of them will take you to your objective. Only getting started. Only buckling down. You see, I'm not a reader. You can solve it so easily by reading. If you'll notice, I talked to you about giving. I said, you know, for the most part, the Lord does not put all kinds of restraints on us in terms of the amount, but rather just the heart. The heart of your heart that says, I want to study the Word of God so that I can grow. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set this book down beside my comfortable chair. And before I turn on the television to watch my sports or my whatever, I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. Let me set the bar low. A Scripture. One verse of Scripture. Guess what? If you do that continually, guess what you are? You are a reader. The enemy robs us continually with ignorance. He wants to keep us ignorant. He wants to tell us we cannot go anyplace when God's word is telling us you can go. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's contrary to what the enemy is speaking. Oh, you'll never be. That's a lie. What can God do with us? What does God want to do with us? If we step in. Ephesians 4. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Begin to study the Word of God, to grow up so that you're not influenced by every television evangelist or person that comes down the pike with a good, you know, flowery word or way of presenting it. And by the way, Ephesians chapter 4 there also says, God out of his incredible love gives the church pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm trying with all of these. You say, my goodness, you just give one scripture after another. You betcha I am. Because, see, I don't want you saying, well, this is Bill McKee's idea that I should be a student or that I can grow. No, this is the Word of God's idea. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who is calling out to you. You can be all that God wants you to be. Just begin to get into His Word. Begin to study His Word. Before you know it, you will have a love for the book. Reason number three, living the Christian life requires knowledge of the Scripture. Can anybody amen that? Amen. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can I tell you, he's using that word man there broadly because it's speaking to the women too. So that every man and every woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's preparing you. You see, if you'll allow him, if you'll give God just a little bit of your time to study his word, he will equip you for what's coming next. God-breathed and useful. Ezekiel 1:3, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Jeremiah 36:2, take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you. Revelation 14, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. This was God speaking in and through these men and women's lives to give us what we need to live our lives. He said, oh, but Pastor, I get in there in the Old Testament, it just doesn't seem like it has any life to it. I love what Paul said. He said, we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. There's something mystical, something spectacular about it. When you let the Word of God just pour through your mind, it will cleanse, it will wash, it will renew. Amen. Oh, I need a refreshing from the Lord. Send your Holy Spirit. I'll do nothing. I'll just sit here. You send your Holy Spirit and wash my mind. No, he said, I sent you my word. Begin to read my word and I will cleanse you. I will wash you. You see, the word of God is for our benefit. Name me another book that has been preserved as this book has been preserved for what now over almost 4,000 years. God wanted us to have this today, church. And not just be on our coffee table or our end table or our bookshelf or something that we could carry to church occasionally or on our phones. David said in Psalm 119, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Deuteronomy 11:18, fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. He told that to the people of Israel, his people. He said, it's going to be important for you to know and to keep before you my word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. Peter says it like this, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. We learn from the Bereans that everything that you are taught should be examined against the word of God. Paul said, I appreciate you Bereans because you said everything. He says, everything I teach you, he said, you sit down and examine the scriptures to know if it was from God. I want you to do that. I do. I want you to examine the scriptures. I want you to do everything that you hear from this pulpit that you are weighing against the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of the word of God. It excites me when somebody calls me or says, Pastor, you know, you said this and this, and I don't really understand it. That excites me because that says that you're actually thinking about something you're being taught. See, here's the thing, folks. Well, many of you have been here since the beginning of my pastorate here. Over 1,100 messages have come forward. Look at your life. Has there been progress? Has there been any movement forward? If there hasn't, is it the fault of the preacher or is it the fault of the listener? Especially as I'm bringing forth actual scriptures. You may not like my delivery. You may fall asleep on my delivery. But the word of God itself should, well, scripture itself says it will not return void. So unless if you're totally tuned out, that's one thing. But if you're hearing the word of God at all, it should have an effect upon your life. There should be some schooling taking place. I can tell you that a serious believer will be a student. Titus 2:15, Paul says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." I want to finish this up this morning with one that you may not have thought about in this regard. Reason number 4. Living the Christian life calls for teaching what we have studied. I believe this with all my heart. He has not just called us to be students to learn, but He has called us to learn to teach. Can I tell you, and you think about this, weigh it. If we don't know something well enough to teach it, we really don't know that something. You said that you used a cookbook. Are there any recipes that you have done so many times that you know how to do them without the cookbook? When you're getting ready to pass something on to your daughter or to somebody else, aren't those the first ones that you pass? Grandma made chicken and noodles this way, and it's passed on down to mom, and then it's passed on down to the daughter. Huh? You see, what the things that really matter, whether it's a recipe or whether it's the Word of God, the things that really matter, we want to pass on. Now, this seems a little bit critical, but I just want to challenge you with this statement. If you don't care enough about this word to pass it on to somebody else, you don't care enough about this word. It's true. If it's not having any impact upon your life, if there are no changes occurring, if you are not growing, I can understand completely why you would not want to give it away. But if you are studying, I can tell you exactly what happens. You know, in your study, the Lord reveals something to you that you've never heard preached, you've never heard spoken anywhere else, and you just get excited about it. And if you're alive, which I question sometimes when I'm preaching, but if you are really alive, you're going to find somebody to tell about it. Alita sent me that song. But we started the service with this morning. I couldn't just hold it to myself. Because as it spoke to my heart at 7 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it was, I thought, oh no, I've got to have more people. And I thought about just telling you about the song. I thought, well, why not just let you hear the song? You see, if it's impacting my life, I want to tell you about it. Where's Linda at? I don't know where she's at. Linda's got a new grandbaby. And if you give her 5 minutes or so, she'll show you a picture. And while you're waiting, she'll swipe over and show you a second one. 7 pounds and 14 ounces. The kid doesn't talk or do anything. It's just amazing. Just sits there all like this. And yet she's so incredibly proud over it. Can you imagine? Huh? I mean, you think I'm crazy for even framing it in that way. You think, well, this is a grandchild. Oh, my goodness, you know, a beautiful child just come into the world. I want to see you get excited about the Word of God to where you go, oh, my goodness, look, I've got to tell you about what God has shown me in the Word. This is incredible. I've never seen this before. I've never heard it. Maybe somebody's preached it, but I didn't hear him. This is incredible. I mean, when it really gets a hold of you, when he said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all of a sudden, it's no longer Paul's word, but it is a word that the Holy Spirit delivers to your heart as you're studying through that passage. And you think, all things? What? All things? I can do all things through Christ who's... What? All things? All of a sudden, the limits of my humanity have been taken away. Hold on, I got to call somebody. I got to tell somebody. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come, listen, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge the duties of your ministry. Say, so, well, you know, that's for preachers. That's for all of us. Study to show yourself approved, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be prepared in season and out of season. Preach the word that you are studying and that you're getting inside of you. Let it out. See, it's not enough to say amen when somebody's preaching to you. Amen means so let it be. That is almost just a poof. There it goes. The real proof that you have been impacted by something that you have heard or received from the Lord is when you will take that something and give it away to somebody else. Guess what I heard? The Spirit of God spoke to me. Warning, the time will come and is here when men will gather. Well, they will not put up with sound doctrine, but they will gather unto themselves teachers. It's here. Why study? Because we're truly living, if we're truly living the Christian life, it can be difficult. Living the Christian life is progressive. We should be maturing. Living the Christian life requires knowledge of the Scriptures. Living the Christian life calls for teaching what we have studied. It's time, church. The day is upon us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You don't believe me? Just take a couple of minutes today and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 6, 7, 8. Paul lists all the things that are going to be happening in the last days. And if you have any level of intellect or knowledge at all, tell me it's not all happening around us now. People are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It's everywhere. If there was ever a day where you needed to set some time aside, you say, well, how do I study? Well, just begin by reading the book meditatively, not chasing to see how quickly you can get through it, but take a scripture and think on that. Read it in the morning when you get up. It'll take you a minute, minute and a half. Take it with you and open it up at your lunchtime and read that same scripture again. And then before you go to bed that night, read that same scripture again. And I guarantee you, there'll be things that will come out in there that you never saw before. And you know what? Hunger will drive you forward. If you will just discipline yourself that much, hunger will take you on forward. Ah, how many consider it this morning to be a privilege to be a Christian? Doesn't just happen. To be Christ-like, we're going to have to engage. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. You are trying to lead us forward. You're trying to carry us along to maturity. Help us, O Lord, because our enemy is pulling back on us. For every can you give us, he says can't. But I pray this morning that something in all of this study has landed upon a heart. Help us, O Lord, as we water that truth with your Holy Spirit, and may it produce in our lives a great bountiful crop of blessing. I pray, Master, that you would use these folks throughout this week. Give them opportunity, O Lord, to open their mouths and to share what they have studied, what they have learned in you. Present them, O God, with the challenge and opportunity to share their faith. And, O Lord, may we stand as workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing your word of truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I cannot close this service without giving opportunity for anyone who is here who has never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've never said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Begin this life. This Christian life in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you want to know him, I would love to pray with you. As everybody's heading toward that door, if you'll come up here, I would love to pray with you this morning. And we will ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins and change you for eternity. Amen? How many have been there and had that moment? Yes, it's just the beginning. It's not the end. May God bless you this week. I mean that. May he bless you with opportunities to share your faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.